All right, Rabosai, good morning. Let's begin. I want to begin first by thanking the sponsors of the shiur, to thank Seth and Rachel Rotenberg for dedicating the shiur in commission of the yard site of Seth's father, Ze'ev Ben Chaim Shmuel, Seth's sister, Naomi Toba Bas Ze'ev, and grandfather, Chaim Shlomo Ben Yitzchok. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of these neshamas will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama. And also to thank Meir and Sarah Raskis for dedicating the shiur and the schus of Rafua Shlima for Yehuda Uri Ben Esther. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah have a complete and enduring Rafua. And of course, we dedicate the learning in the schus of Rafua Shlima for Kobi Rosemore, for Chaim Yaakov David Ben Avigail, in the hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, he together with Kol Choli Yisrael will have a complete and enduring Rafua. All right, so we'll say we have a beautiful daf ahead of us today. It's actually a shorter daf, which is good because it'll give us a little bit of time also for a little bit of a shtickel on Lag BaOmer. So we're going to, today's daf is Kuf Yud Beis 112. We're actually going to go back a little bit just so we get into the flow of the Gemara. And we're going to go back to Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis 111b. And let's pick up at Rabbi Shmuel Omer. So it's 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. Last two words on the line, Rabbi Shmuel Omer. So again, remember, we actually read this yesterday. It's just a series of psukim. So just to pick up the flow, it'll go quickly. So we'll say, again, just to reorient ourselves a little bit, remember the topic that we're talking about is specifically the statement of the Mishnah that said that a husband is Yoresh's wife. Husband inherits his wife. So the Gemara is just trying to figure out where exactly we see that concept. So we saw the sheet of Rabbi Akiva and others yesterday. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Eino Tzarech. Rabbi Shmuel is responding here to Rabbi Akiva. He says, I don't believe you need this same drasha. Harei you omer v'chol bas yoreshes nachala mimatos b'nei Yisrael la'echa mimishpachos. So the Pasuk says that if a daughter goes ahead and inherits property, mimatos b'nei Yisrael, from one of the tribes of Klal Yisrael, so here the Pasuk says that she should only marry into her own tribe. Now, both said we're going to have to discuss this extensively, although this will come up not in today's daf, much more in tomorrow's daf, as to whether or not this is an actual ongoing halacha, or this was an accommodation for Benos Tzlafchad. Because when you read the psukim, it sounds like, again, it's a response to Benos Tzlafchad. So we'll see that. The Gemara is going to discuss that in tomorrow's daf more. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel says, Bahasabas habala kosum and daber. Why is it that we want the woman who inherits to marry into her tribe in order that the husband not go ahead and move the property from one tribe to another? What are we concerned about, says Rabbi Shmuel? We're concerned the wife's going to predecease the husband. Husband inherits her, and then lamais again, the tribal property transfers from one sheva to another. Va'omer v'lo sisom nachal l'bnei Yisrael matal mata. And the pasuk says, you shall not transfer one tribe's property to another tribe. Va'omer v'lo tisom nachal l'matal mata achar. So and the pasuk furthermore says, you shall not go ahead and transfer nachalah, tribal inheritance, from one shevet to another. Va'omer. So I'll say, the Gemara is quoting a number of different psukim. On Amud Aleph, this is why I wanted to get into the flow, we're going to ask why the Gemara needs Va'omer, 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 when all of these things seem to be saying the same exact thing, which is what? Which is what? Good. That a husband inherits his wife. Coffee's decaf today, or it's so again, we're seeing the Gemara is just stressing the same thing over and over and over, which is that a husband goes ahead and inherits his wife. So the Gemara says, "Va'omer," three lines up from the bottom, "Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, Ve'Elazar ben Aaron Meis, Va'ikberu Oso Begivas Pinchas Bino." So the pasuk says that Elazar, the son of Aaron, died. Elazar, the Kohen Gadol, son of Aaron, died, and his son Pinchas buried him, Begivas Pinchas, on the hill of Pinchas. So the Gemara says, one second, they will say, the way it sounds like over here is that this is property that Pinchas owned that Elazar did not. How is it that Pinchas owns property that didn't come from his father? Where does Pinchas have property that wasn't the property of his father Elazar? Rather, what happens? Pinchas got married to a woman from a different Shevet. His wife predeceased him. Pinchas inherited the property. As such, Pinchas is burying his father Elazar on property that did not come from Elazar, but rather again came from Pinchas' wife. Va'omer, last line, Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, Uskuv, Usiguv, holded as Yoir, Vahilo Estrem Vishalosh Arim the Eretz Gilad. Segub gave birth to Yoir, and Yoir had 23 cities in Eretz Gilad. So we'll say again, it sounds like over here that the son has property that did not come from the father. So how was the son getting property that did not come from the father? Top of Kofiud Bezim Adalif, was like first line, so where did Yoir get land that his father did not own? Malamed Shenasa Yoir Isha. So we'll say it must be that what? Yoir married a woman. Umesa Viyarsha. Ultimately, again, so Yoir married a woman. His wife predeceased him, and he inherited the property in that way. So we'll say, so again, a number of different psukim, all teaching us seemingly the same exact lesson, which is that a husband inherits his wife, to which leads the Gemara to ask, my Omer. As well say, if you look at the flow, and this is, I wanted to go back to this, if you look at the flow of the psukim, the Gemara begins first by quoting the psukim that come in the aftermath of the episode of Tzlavchad, and then keep saying, va'omer, 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 va'omer. Keep ending on one pasuk, one maisa, or one episode after the other. So the Gemara says, my va'omer, why do I need all of this? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. V'chi tema b'sivas ha'ben ka'kapit kra. It will say, because the Gemara suggests the following, we're going to spend some significant time on this. Maybe the issue over here is not that we're worried that the husband is going to go ahead and, let's say, inherit his wife, and thereby remove her inheritance from the shevet of origin to his shevet, but rather, what are we concerned about? The fact that when the woman dies, her son will inherit it. See, her. So I'll say, here's what we know. Right now, what the Gemara is suggesting is the following. We're trying to learn out the concept that a husband inherits his wife. Even before you get into that, says the Gemara, there's one thing that we all agree on, which is that a son inherits his mother. Now, we saw in yesterday's daf, remember the machlokes, as to whether or not a son and daughter share equally in the yerusha of the mother. Does a son get pishnaim in the yerusha of the mother? So remember, what was our conclusion yesterday? Our conclusion yesterday was that son and daughter do in fact share equally. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Our conclusion yesterday is a son does not get pishnaim. He does not get a double portion in his mother's inheritance. Pishnaim is a din in the father's inheritance. But a son is a first position inheritor over his sister. In other words, Lamaisi, he still has precedence over his sister, but he does not get Pishnaim. But one thing is clear, leaving all the technicalities aside, is that what? Is that Lamaisa's son inherits his mother. So what the Gemara is suggesting is the following. Maybe at the end of the day, the reason why if a woman inherits, there's an insistence that she marry within her own tribe, not because we are concerned that she's going to predecease her husband, and her husband therefore is going to inherit her and move her inheritance from one sheva to another, but rather what are we concerned about? When she dies, right, at some point in time she's going to die, her son is going to inherit her. They both say, now one thing is clear, which is what? Her son is from a different shevet, right? Because her son is from whatever shevet her husband is. See, even what the Gemara is suggesting over here is, even if you don't hold that a son goes ahead, excuse me, that a husband inherits his wife, one thing is clear, which is a son does inherit his wife. Therefore, maybe the Torah is saying, woman, if you go ahead and you inherit, you need to marry within your own tribe in order that when you die, your son doesn't move your property from one shevet to another. That's what it means, besibas haben. Sibas haben, Siba in this context doesn't mean ultimately, again, reason. It means transfer. Maybe we're concerned about the eventuality of the son transferring his mother's inheritance from one sheva to another. So the Gemara says, Aval ba lo yaris, but maybe Enachinami, a husband, in fact, does not go ahead and inherit his wife. In other words, the Gemara is suggesting over here is, maybe there is no raya from these psukim that a husband inherits his wife. Rather, what's the issue? The issue ultimately is that we're concerned that his son will inherit his mother, transfer the tribal property in that way. Therefore, what happens? The Gemara says, Tashma, Velo Sisov Nachala Libnei Yisrael Mata Al Mata. Therefore, the Gemara quotes Va'omer, another pasuk. And I will say, what happens in that additional pasuk? The Torah once again quotes the prohibition that you shall not move tribal property from one sheva to another. So I will say, even if you say the first pasuk is talking about the concern that a mother dies, her son inherits her, and the son will transfer the property from one sheva to another, there's an additional pasuk. So what is that additional pasuk coming to teach me? That pasuk is coming to teach me that a husband inherits his wife, and therefore ultimately, again, there's a concern that if he's from a different shevet, so what will happen? He will transfer sense for her property to Shevet. V'chitema, maybe you'll say no. Maybe this pasuk is not talking about the fact that a husband inherits his wife. Rather, la'avor alav v'lav v'aseh. So we'll say you have the concept that sometimes the Torah will go out of its way to repeat a prohibition in order to, I guess what we'll say is enhance culpability or enhance liability. So maybe what we're doing over here is we're going ahead and stating the same concept, namely, that a woman, if she inherits, must marry into the same tribe in order that her son, when she dies and he inherits her, he not move her property from one shevet to another. Why state it twice? The first time to tell you that if she doesn't marry into the right tribe, she's in violation of a lo saseh. Second time to teach you that she's in violation of an aseh, a positive commandment. So therefore, again, the Gemara brings another pasuk, Tashma, lo saseh nachala mimata lamata achar. So therefore, the Torah comes along, and the pasuk quotes a third pasuk, lo sisov nachala mimata lamata achar. You shall not go ahead and move tribal property from one tribe to another. So it must be that on this third time, what is the Torah coming to teach me? It must be teaching me that a husband inherits his wife. Therefore, if a woman inherits property, she must marry into the same tribe. V'chitema, no, maybe not. V'chitema la'avar la b'shnei labin v'aseh, maybe not. Maybe it's not teaching me that a husband inherits his wife. Rather, again, what's the issue over here? The issue is her son inherits her. But why keep saying the same thing over and over to tell you that if she marries into another tribe and her son ultimately inherits her, she's in violation of two prohibitions and one positive commandment. Okay, well, even if that's the case, Tashma, what about the Bosei, the Pasek and Sefer Yoshua? Ve'elozer ben Aaron meis. Remember, what did the pasuk say? Eleazar, the son of Aaron, dies, and what happens? So Pinchas buries his father Eleazar where? Begivas Pinchas. Bless you. Begivas Pinchas, on a hill of Pinchas. So remember again, what did the Gemara say? The Gemara suggested that Lamaisa, again, this is a clear raya, where did Pinchas get this property that didn't come from his mother? Elamai must be what? He was married. His wife predeceased him. He inherited her. Therefore, he has property that is not from his shevet, or that is not from his father, I should say. V'chitema, Elazar hu dinasiv esesa, umesav yarsa Pinchas. Maybe not. Maybe, in fact, where is this property from? Maybe Elazar married a woman, right, from a different tribe, and what happens? She predeceased him, and this is property that Pinchas was Yoresh. This is Pinchas' Yerusha, not property that he inherited for his wife. So again, then the Gemara brings another pasuk, Tashma, Usuguv holy des yoyer. So remember again, we'll say that the Gemara brings another pasuk. What happens with Suguv? So Suguv ultimately, again, is the son of Yoyer, and the pasuk says that Yoyer had 23 cities in Gilad, which sounds like Kabbalah said that's what? That Yair has 23 cities that were not inheritance from his father. Where did that come from? So the Gemara posits, it comes from the fact that Yair married a woman, she predeceased him, he inherited her, that's where he has his property from. V'chitema, listen to this, Hassam nami hachihu. Well, maybe not, maybe it's the same thing. Maybe Skuv married a woman, obviously, the woman who Skuv married came from a different shevet. She died, she predeceased him, he inherited her, and then when Skuv dies, what happens? Yair inherits his father. Imkain, Trey Kray Lamali. If that's the case, Rabbi say, why do I need two psukim to teach me the same thing? Rabbi say, that what the Gemara is asking over here is that why do I need all this repetition? In other words, why does the Torah have to go out of his way to tell me this extraneous information by Pinchas and also by Yoyer? So Amalei Rav Papa, listen to this. Abaye, Mimai. So Rabbi say, therefore, the Gemara suggests that the repetition only yields one result, which is that we must be learning that both in the case of Pinchas, as well as in the case of Yoir, the son of Skuv, that the way they got this additional property was how they were married to women, their wives predeceased them, and the husbands went ahead and inherited the property from their wives. So we'll say, we have a very narrow focus. What's our focus? We're just trying to prove that when a wife predeceases a husband, husband inherits her. So all the Gemara is suggesting is, even if you don't want to learn that from all the previous psukim, these episodes in Navi clearly paint that picture. So we'll say, watch this. Well, still, how do you know? Dilma, li'olam emelecha bal lo yoris. And we'll say, maybe at the end of the day, there is no raya that a husband goes ahead and inherits his wife. In other words, maybe there is no raya. So what's happening over here? Ukroi besibas haben kiddushanin. So we'll say, if that's the case, okay, so let's analyze this. So this is Rav Papa saying to Abaye. Maybe a husband does not inherit his wife. What about all of the psukim that speak about, again, the prohibition of moving property from one sheva to another? How does that materialize? To which the Gemara says, "B'siba saben kiddushayinan." The Bosai, it's very simple. What the Torah is telling us is the issue when a woman inherits property, the reason she has to marry inside her tribe has nothing to do with her husband. Who does it have to do with? Her son. Because the mice, again, at some point in time when she dies, what will happen? What will happen is her son will inherit her. If, and obviously, again, if her husband is from a different tribe, it's not the pshat that her husband's going to inherit her, but her son, who is now from a different tribe, by dint of the fact that his father is from a different tribe, will inherit her. So what about the psukim and navi? So listen to this. V'yoyer, get ready for this, t'zaben nizban. Pinchas nami dezavim mitzvah. I will say, you know, there's another possibility in all of this. Meaning, there's another possibility as to how did Pinchas have property, and how did Yair the son of Zguv have property? I will say, how else did they have property? They bought it. In other words, who says? I will say, meaning, there are other ways to establish property ownership other than inheritance. People buy property. Maybe that's how Pinchas has property. Maybe that's how Yoyer has property. Supposed to listen to this. This is amazing. And this is actually quite fascinating. The Gemara says, I'll tell you why it can't be. Because Amrle Pinchas de Zabin Mizvan lo matis amris. That might be a good answer for Yoyer. Could it be that Yoyer owns 23 cities in the Gilad because he was a shtekel industrious, right? And he goes ahead and he's buying a property. He's like a real estate mogul. He's buying up all these different cities in Gilad. It's possible, but you can't give that as an answer by Pinchas. Why not? Rabosai, listen to this. De'im kein, nimtze steachuza. Rabosai, if Pinchas is buying that property, that means what? That means that property is ancestral property belonging to someone else. Which is fine. I will say, you understand that in Eretz Yisrael, any time, in biblical Eretz Yisrael, any time that you went ahead and you bought land, you never really bought land. What were you doing? Right? You were really engaging in a long-term lease. Why? Because Yovel always resets the clock. Right? Yovel always goes ahead. I believe in Yerushalayim, it's still like this. Right? Kiva, correct? Certain parts, right? You're not really buying it. It's a long-term lease. Although there, it's like for 100 years, no? Right? So longer. So, okay, in any event, the point that Gemara is saying over here, let's play this out. So Pinchas, by the way, and Pinchas is even a bigger issue because Pinchas is Shevet Levi. So really, again, there's no real land ownership by Shevet Levi. So although we'll discuss exceptions to that. But Lamaisa, at the end of the Gemara is just saying, so let's play this out. Pinchas owns land because he bought it presumably from someone else. If he's buying it from someone else, that means it's someone's steachuza. And what happens with the steachuza, Rabosai? Nimtza steachuza chozeres biyovel. So Rabosai, if Pinchas is burying his father on land that he bought from someone else, the property, the ownership of that land is going to go back in Yovel. Nimtza tzadik kaver, bekaver she'enu shalom. Rabosai, could it be that Pinchas is going to bury his father, Elazar, and property that's going to revert back to someone else in the Yovel year? Can't be. So, I mean, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that works fine. That answer of buying property works beautifully well by Yoyer. Yoyer, fine. Yoyer buys up 23 cities in Gilad, right? It works fine. We'll say, why does it work fine? Well, it works fine because who even knows who Yair ben Zguv is? Because it's a Navi. I'm saying, who learns Navi? So I'm saying, like, we don't even know about this. We only know about Pinchas because he's mentioned in the Chumash, right? So I have a fighting chance of knowing who he is because his parents are in Chumash. And chances are, I came across a pasuk in the Gemara that quoted Pinchas before, so I know about him. So, but again, so you understand what's happening over here. So ultimately, how could it be? And furthermore, here's the difference also. Pinchas is using this acquired land as a burial site. So how could it be that Pinchas is going to bury his father on property that's going to revert back to Yovel? So the Gemara says, Ela ima denafla la misteach haramim. So the Gemara says, well, there's still another answer. It could be that how did Pinchas get this property, Rabosai? It's what's called steach haramim. If you look at the Rashbam, Rabosai, in the intermediate wide lines, not in the short lines, not on the widest lines on the bottom, right in the middle of the intermediate wide lines, right across from Tulsa's Amar Le Rav Papa. So Misteh Haramim, what does this mean? Kedichsev, Kol Chirim Bi Yisrael, Lecho Yihyeh. Rabosai, the halacha is the following, without getting into all the intricacies right now, a person can make what's called a Chirim Neder, a Chirim Vow. where a person essentially pledges his property, makes a neder, giving over his property to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Kohanim. So what happens to the Cheirim vow? The pasuk says, Kol Cheirim b'Yisrael l'chol yihyeh, inam yahu d'chsev, v'hoya asada b'tzei sobiyova, kodesh la'ashem, kisada achirim, shem ischalik l'kohanim, v'havu hasam charabim tuba, v'not alazer chalko b'hano charam, v'chelik pinchas ha'basubos. Listen to this. If somebody pledges their property, bless you, to the Beis HaMikdash, through the mechanism of the Cheirim vow, the halacha is that that property does not revert back to the owner at Yovel. Rather, what happens to that property at Yovel? It's divided up amongst the Kohanim. Which I will say is something quite fascinating, because we often assume that essentially Shevet Levi never owned land. So first of all, it's not true. Shevet Levi could own land, because you could always purchase land. They could also inherit land, meaning Lemaisa already you see that if you have someone, a man from Shevet Levi, who has a mother from a different Shevet, and she is an only child in a family, he could inherit land in that way. But also, again, b'stei charamim, there was land that was divided up amongst the Kohanim. How that division takes place is a bit more of an intricate discussion, but there was land that was divided up every Yovel year amongst the Kohanim as well. So the Gemara just suggests that you could have a case where Pinchas is inheriting land in a way that does not come from his mother, in a way that certainly does not come from his father. It could have been stei charam. So we'll say the Gemara essentially stops here. So here's the good news. What's the good news? The good news is everyone agrees that a husband inherits his wife. What's the machlokas? Where do we see this from? So the Gemara quoted a number of different psukim. The Gemara seems to say that each of those psukim could be answered up in a different way. So, and even the two psukim from Navi could be answered up in a different way. So the Gemara kind of stops here. Now we're going to pick up with this discussion again in tomorrow's daf. So the Gemara freezes for just a moment. Again, we'll say, here's the good news. I want to put your mind at ease, because I see some of you getting very agitated. Right? I want to put your mind at ease. The good news is, the halacha is secure, the conclusion is secure, meaning we know what the bottom line is. The only shayla ultimately is how to get there. So the Gemara now goes into a little bit of a different discussion. I'm not buying. Sof. So we'll say, let's go back for just a moment. If you remember, on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, right, when we had the great chutz to learn this beautiful daf, yesterday's daf on Shabbos Kodesh, remember again, the Gemara began with a pasuk. This is mamish on the top of Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. The pasuk says, V'chobas yoreshes nachalo, mimatos b'nei Yisrael. That if a daughter inherits property, mimatos b'nei Yisrael. Now, remember, we picked up on the plurality. Is that, can I use that word? Good. Right, plurality of the pasuk matos, which means what? That the Bosse were talking about a case where this woman is the sole inheritor on both sides, from her mother and from her father. So she is inheriting property both from her mother's Shevet and her father's Shevet. So what did the pasuk say? The pasuk ended off by saying, Le'echod memishpachas mate'aviyah tia'li'isha. So the Torah tells her she has to marry into her father's Shevet. Now, why does she have to marry into her father's Shevet? What's the goal over here? The goal seems to be to maintain tribal integrity, keep the father's portion together with the portion. But says Abai, but here's the problem. Sof, hakamas akra nachla mishifta de'ima l'shifta de'ava. If we set out this pasuk as what they're both saying, a woman who is the sole inheritor from her mother and her father. So again, let's keep it simple. Her father's from Reuven, her mother's from Shimon. She inherits tribal property. So what does the Torah tell us? Who does she have to marry into? She has to marry into Reuven. So that's very nice. That's very nice for her father's tribal property. But you're still going ahead and transferring the tribal property of her mother from Shevet Shimon into the father's property of Shevet Reuven. So the Gemara says, Sof, how come is Akrenachla Meshifta Dima, Meshifta Daaba? You're still transferring the property she inherits from her mother's tribe, ultimately to her father's tribe. Ubimai, how do you know? Dilma Shaini Hasam Shekvar Huspa. I will say, this is actually very interesting. Maybe essentially what the Gemara is answering over here is, maybe we kind of give up already on the portion that she inherited from her mother. What does this mean? Because once her mother was already the sole inheritor, and now it's transferring down to, meaning once it goes to a mother, that means already it's part of a different share. But in other words, let's go back for just a moment. All right, let's use it like this. Yaakov is married to Rachel. They have a daughter, Sarah. They have a daughter, Sarah. What happens? Sarah is the sole inheritor of Yaakov and Rachel. Yaakov, I need a PowerPoint. You know, it's right. Yeah, right. Yaakov is from Reuven, and Rachel is from Shimon. So what happens? So they pass away, and they leave everything to their daughter, Sarah. So Sarah now has in her possession property from Shevet Reuven and property from Shevet Shimon. They both say, now understand, the property that already goes to Sarah is already what? Is already removed from Shevet Shimon. How is it already removed from Shevet Shimon? Because remember, again, already Sarah is the product of a union between Reuven and Shimon, and tribal identity is established by the father. Now, what are we concerned about? Sarah has children, right? So now the question is, who should Sarah marry? So we'll say, so the Gemara suggests over here, at the end of the day, the fact that Rachel already married, who did Rachel marry? Yaakov, right? Rachel already married Yaakov, to a certain degree, already removed the tribal property from Shimon to Reuven. The fact now that it's gone down another generation, it's no further, in other words, once it's been removed, it's been removed. Essentially what the Gemara is answering is saying, once you have a woman who is a sole inheritor, who is already married to a man from another tribe, that property is already, quote-unquote, lost. I mean, the Gemara doesn't use the Lashon of lost. The Gemara uses the Lashon of moved. So once it's already been moved, perhaps, again, we're not really worrying about what happens to the property that Sarah inherited from her mother, Rachel, because that property is already considered to be moved. Therefore, again, vis-a-vis the property of her mother, we're not concerned who she marries. What we are concerned about is what? Is the property that she inherits from her father. Because ultimately, again, that property, if she marries into her father's Shevet, is still what? Is still salvageable. To which the Gemara says, Amrlei, Shekvar Hospa Lo Aminon. The Gemara says, no. First of all, who says we say that the property is lost? Amrlei Rav Yemer Rav Ashi, Iyamet Pishlama Shekvar Hospa. So we'll say, so says Rav Yemer Rav Ashi, if you say that essentially we're kind of miyaish, we kind of give up hope on salvaging the tribal integrity of Sarah's maternal's inheritance of the property that originally came from Rachel, who was from Shevet Shimon, if you say we kind of give up on that, then, so the Gemara says, Hainu dimetuk makra, bein besiba sabein, bein besiba sabal. Then I'll say, ultimately, again, the Pasuk is telling me, whether we're worried about, ultimately, again, the issue of the property being shifted because the husband inherits it or because the son inherits it, then I understand. Because what we're all really focusing on is the inheritance that Sarah is getting from her father. Because essentially, I don't want to say we don't care, but we kind of already given up on the property that she inherits from her mother. So the Gemara says, Ela I amrit la amrina shakvar hospa. But if you say no, that at the end of the day, we're still concerned with maintaining the tribal integrity, even of the property that she inherited from her mother, ki min seba la'echa mi mishpachas mata aviyah, mai hava, ha mis'akra nachala mishifta de'imalu shifta de'aba. To Rabbi Osa, if you say that we are concerned with, this is really fascinating, if you say that we are concerned with maintaining the tribal integrity of both the Yerusha she gets from her father, as well as the Yerusha she gets from her mother, which are both say what? From two different Shvatim, then it's very nice that you tell her to marry into the tribe of her father. That remedies the portion that she gets from her father, or actually not remedies, that maintains the tribal integrity of the portion she gets to her father. But while maintaining the tribal integrity of the portion she gets from her father, what have you done? What have you done? You've eroded the tribal integrity of the Yerusha she inherited from her mother. So what do you do with that? Rabbi say, so the Gemara here makes a wild, wild suggestion. Dimasabinon le legavra da'avuhi, excuse me, legavra da'avuhi mishifta da'avua v'ime mishifta di'ime. So Rabbi say, so what do? We tell her to marry someone whose father, essentially again, whose yichus mirrors hers. Right? So essentially we tell this woman, so again, let's be clear on this case. So we're calling her Sarah, right? We're calling her Sarah. So Sarah, remember again, has a father from Reuven, has a mother from Shimon, she's inherited property from both. So maybe the Gemara says, what do we do with such a woman like this? We tell her, you also have to marry a man whose father is from Reuven and whose mother is from Shimon to maintain the same tribal integrity. We'll say, by the way, this is a mefura sharaya for arranged marriages, right? Because this can never happen on its own, right? Mamaji, you would have to choreograph this very specifically. And by doing this, again, we'll say, we're going to see this is still fraught with complications, but lemaise, again, at least like this, what we're doing is tell her to mirror someone essentially who's yichos, who's, we'll call it, tribal genealogy lines up exactly with hers. The Rabbah said, now what does that do? So we're going to see, it doesn't really remedy the issues. What it does do is what? It maintains status quo. What I was about to say, it's actually an important hashkafa in life. Sometimes in life, the right solution is not available. So people sometimes think that any solution is better than no solution. That's not true. Because sometimes if you apply the wrong solution to the problem, you amplify the problem. So what do you do in life when you don't necessarily have an immediate solution to the problem? Sometimes you go into a holding pattern. Sometimes what you do is, okay, let's maintain status quo and let's figure out, not rush to a conclusion, not rush to just a chop-plop solution, but let's figure out what the right solution is. Are we remedying this issue over here? Not in totality, but what we're doing is we're going into a shtickle of a holding pattern. We're saying, okay, marry someone who's just like you and gives us a little bit more time to try to figure out what to do. So I'm going to say, Iyachi, if that's the case, that we're going to tell her to marry someone who's exactly like her. If that's the case, so understand, all of this, I just want to point out that all of this, all of this is predicated on the idea that the way the Gemara is darshaning this pasuk on the top of Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph is that when it says V'chol Bas Yoreshes Nachala Mimatos, the Gemara understands Matos is plural, and plural ultimately means what? That she's inheriting from two parents, from two different Shvatim. We're going to see, you know, it makes life a lot easier if you don't darshan the pasuk this way. But we'll get right now, that's where we darshan. The Gemara says, well, if that's the case, and the pasuk should read, so she's inheriting from two different parents with two different shvatim. And they tell me the etza is she has to marry a man whose genealogy mirrors her own. If that's the case, then the pasuk should say la'echad mimishpachas matei avia v'ima miboyle. The pasuk should have said she should marry one who is from the tribe of her father and the tribe of her mother. Meaning, let the pasuk be explicit then. You see, because we'll say all the pasuk seems to tell us is what, that she has to marry who. Someone from the shevet of her father. But you're not saying that. You're telling me in this case she has to marry someone who has, from both, again, who has the shevet. She has to marry a man whose father is from her father's shevet and from her, whose mother is from her mother's shevet. Well, so you understand that because, again, even though this man's tribal identity is going to be the shevet of his father, but it makes us feel a little bit better how? Because remember, ultimately, he's going to be inheriting his mother, who's from a different shevet anyway. So essentially what's happening over here is, at least we're giving the property to someone who has some type of affiliation on his mother's side with the shevet of the wife's mother's side. So again, what it is it's an imperfect remedy to essentially an impossible to an impossible situation. So Gemara says, well, let the pasuk say that. To which the Gemara says, listen to this, it's amazing. Ikos of Hachi, hava amina pil ipcha. So Gemara says, well, if it would have said that, you might have thought that even the opposite was okay. In other words, that even if she married a man whose father was from the same shevet as the girl's mother, and whose mother was from the same shevet as the girl's father, that would have been otherwise. I would have thought that what the pasuk's telling me is, what you need is, what do you need in the shidduch? You need equal tribal representation. Right? Equal tribal representation. So it has to be that if this girl has property from Reuven and Shimon, she has to marry a man who has a familial link to Reuven and Shimon. But it doesn't matter if the father's from Reuven, the mother's from Shimon, the mother's from Reuven, the father's from Shimon, as long as the tribes are represented. Kamash Mulan, so therefore the pasuk couldn't say it like, therefore Kamash Mulan, the essentially the absence of the additional information forces us to darshan that no, it's not just enough for there to be familial tribal representation, but rather what? His yichus has to mirror her yichus. If she has a father from Reuben and a mother from Shimon, he has to have a father from Reuben and a mother from Shimon. So Gemara says the following. So therefore, ipcha hava mina afilu ipcha to kamashlan though. Tanya besiba saben. The time is also. So we're jumping back just a little bit again. So the Gemara will say says the following. What the Torah is telling us is that if a woman inherits property from her family, there's a concern that ultimately if she does not marry into the shevet of her father, that what's going to happen? The property is going to transfer. So Rabbi will say, Who are we concerned about? Now we're kind of jumping back a little bit to our previous discussion. Who are we concerned about? So one Braisa seems to indicate the concern is the husband, her husband. Because if she predeceases her husband goes out and then takes her property to his shevet. And others say the concern is her son. That when she dies and her son inherits her, then ultimately, again, the son's going to take it to his tribe, which is his shevet, which is the father's. But let's take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. It's seven lines up from the bottom of the Rashbam. Tanya b'siba sabam, tanya b'siba sabal. Kilomar, afal gav du'uk minan lahani tshei kroi, lo sisov nachala b'nei yisrael mimata lamata, lo sisov nachala mimata lamata, lamata achar, Tavai b'siba sabam. So we'll say, even though we've established that in reality, both of these psukim really refer to the fact that her son who inherits her, ultimately, again, if he's from a different tribe, meaning if she marries out of her, if she marries a man from a different tribe, when she dies, her son will inherit her and transfer that property to a different shevet. Uleshnei lavi kedikani vaomer afilu achi ashkechan brisos demuki lekamo besibas haben uletinyona besibas habal. So we'll say Rashbam just kind of giving us coming attractions, even though ultimately we will set up both of these brisos as referring to the issue of where what of when the woman dies. Her son inherits her, and her son will thereby transfer her property that she inherited from a different tribe to his own tribe. The Gemara is suggesting that some set up these psukim as referring to the issue of her husband inheriting her and transferring the property, and others go ahead and set it up as the issue of the son inheriting her and transferring the property. But let's analyze this. Back to the Gemara. Tanya b'siva sabal, Tanya b'siva sabal. Tanya b'siva sabal. So we'll say the Braisa says that the pasuk is talking about the issue of her son inheriting her, and as a result transferring her inherited property to a different shevet. Because what does the pasuk say? V'lo sisov nachala libnei Yisrael mimata el mata. The pasuk says you shall not go ahead and transfer tribal property from one shevet to another shevet. B'siva sabal akosav medaber. The pasuk over here is talking about the issue is that when the woman dies and her son inherits her, the son is going to transfer the property to his own shevet. So the Gemara says, "V'siba saben akosim medaber atomer b'siba saben o eno ela b'siba sabal." Maybe not. Maybe he's talking about over here that if she marries a man from a different shevet, the problem is not their son, but the problem is the husband himself. That when the wife predeceases the husband, he will inherit her and thereby transfer her property to a different shevet. Kishu omer. When the pasuk says that you shall not transfer tribal property from one shevet to another shevet, harei b'siva sabal omer. That pasuk suggests the Gemara is referring to the issue of marrying into another shevet and having the husband transfer the property to another shevet. Ha ma'ani mekayim below sisav nachala libnei somi mata al mata. So what does the pasuk refer to when it says you shall not transfer tribal property from one tribe to another? Ultimately, again, that's talking about the issue of the wife, the woman dying, her son inheriting her, and ultimately, again, transferring the property to another shevet. Both say top of Kuf Yud Gimel. Let's just do two more lines, then we'll stop. Tanya idach another brisa. What does the brisa say? Velo sisov nachala mimata limata limata acher. The pasuk both say second brisa, and the second brisa says you shall not go ahead and transfer tribal property from one shevet to another shevet. So the Gemara says b'siva saval kosa medaber. The pasuk is talking about the issue of the wife predeceases the husband inherits the wife, and thereby transfers her property to another shevet. So the Gemara says, so b'siba sabal kosav medaber ato umer b'siba sabal o eino ela b'siba saben. Maybe not. Maybe the pasuk Rabosai is talking about the issue over here that when the woman dies, her son will inherit her, thereby transferring the property ultimately to someone else. Kishu umer v'lo sasuv nachala libnei Yisrael mimata el mata. So Rabosai, when the pasuk says that you shall not transfer a nachala, a portion, ultimately, again, in Bnei Yisrael, from one shevet to another, hare asibas haben amar. That's referring to the issue of the son transferring his mother's inheritance, transferring the inheritance from his mother, from one shevet to another. I ha ma'ani mekayim velo sisav nachala mimata lamata, lamata achar. So what do I do with the pasuk that says, you shall not transfer, ultimately, again, property, tribal property, from one tribe to another. So the Gemara says, "Besibas habala kasav medaber." That's talking about again the issue ultimately of what? Of the husband transferring the property that he would inherit from her to another shevet. So we'll say, essentially, we end off over here in the middle of the sugya. Now, the good news is, what we have is the following. Let's go with what we know. What we know ultimately, again, is that a husband inherits his wife. That we know. That we've established. The why or the where seems to still be subject to some level of dispute. What else do we know? We also know that l'maisa, the Torah seems to tell us that halacha l'maisa, when a woman inherits property from her mother, that when a woman inherits property, she must go ahead, I should say from her father, she must go ahead and marry into the tribe of her father. What about in the complicated case, which seems to be the case of the pasuk, according to the Gemara Kuf Yud Aleph, where she's inheriting property ultimately again from mother and father? So there the pasuk seems to tell us that she should marry into the tribe of her father. That's very nice. That takes care of the property she inherits from her father. What doesn't it take care of? Ultimately, the property she inherits from her mother, to which the Gemara suggests a very creative, not solution, but stopgap measure, which is the closest thing we have to a solution. Let her marry a man whose genealogy mirrors her own. Let her marry a man whose father is from the same shevet as her father, whose mother is from the same shevet as her father, and that essentially allows us a quasi-solution to this issue. So we'll say, again, whether or not we're going to accept that solution and how we're going to ultimately dash in the pasuk upon which this entire discussion is based, we'll see Emirat Hashem in tomorrow's daf. Let me share with you a short idea on Lag BaOmer before we...